AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
And joining us at 8:24 via the KVOE Sutherland studio line is none other than our city manager, Trey Cocking, here today.
Trey, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Trey.
Good morning, Ron and Chuck. How are you guys this morning?
Doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm good on this Monday morning.
Good. Well, glad to have you with us. I know Tegan had gotten you scheduled here this morning to talk a little bit about the future of the Hornets Point apartment complex and maybe that particular address, because obviously we had the huge fire back in the middle of December, and it sounds like the city commission is finally clearing the way here for that space to be literally cleared.
Yeah, you know, we tried to give enough time for the owner to do the right thing and take care of the building themselves. They failed to do that. We sent them notice. We declared it a hazard. We went through the unsafe and dangerous process on that building, and they did not respond. They did not tear that building down like we asked them to. So last Wednesday, commission took the step to authorize a $390,437 bid to have Kaufman go ahead and remove that building and get it gone, hopefully in the next couple weeks.
So that's on the fast track right now, it sounds like, huh?
Yeah. You know, we get to the point with this demolition process that cities go through. There's a lot of time. And then once the construction bid gets awarded, it goes pretty quick at that point. So that's where we are now with that bid being awarded to Kaufman.
So what exactly is the city's process here? It sounds like you're roughly dealing with a six-month window before you have to make a decision, yay or nay, on some sort of a demolition work.
You know, on this, this is a pretty expensive demolition. We wanted the insurance company to come in. We wanted them to do the right thing. We wanted them to tear down the building. That failed to happen. Our fire investigators, the state fire marshal, cleared that building. They did their investigation and quickly cleared that building so that the owner could remove it. That didn't happen. So now what will happen is the city's going to upfront the cost of it, $390,437. We will bill the owner once that demolition is complete. If the owner fails to make that payment, it will go on as a tax lien against the building. So that means when the owner goes to pay their taxes, and it will be just like any other taxes that are on that building, they will have to pay that first and foremost. If they fail to do that, then we can go through a tax foreclosure process and sell the property and hopefully recoup our money that we're paying to have this torn down.
Boy, clearly not an ideal process set up here.
I mean, you know, and that's why we wanted to give the owners plenty of time to do it themselves. We didn't want to have to, you know, take our resources and commit them to that. But clearly that hasn't happened. So, you know, we can't have that unsafe and dangerous building sitting there, especially that anywhere in this community. But, you know, it's right there by campus. It's an attractive nuisance, and we don't want anybody getting in there and getting hurt. So it needs to go.
So, Trey, have you heard anything at all from the owners, any communication whatsoever?
You know, we've had a little bit of communication here or there. Their insurance company is still investigating the fire to determine if they should have to pay. You know, I think we will further ask for a state law change to make it so that even if an insurance company is investigating whether or not they should have to pay a claim, they still need to pay the claim to have that building demolished quickly, because the insurance company has definitely drug their hands on this. And, you know, quite frankly, I would talk to your insurers and find out how quickly if something like this happens to you, because I don't think this is a good look for this insurance company to be sitting here like this and not paying out claims.
Well, specifically, if we're talking safety hazards anywhere, I mean, that has to be top of the list, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, this building is still insured, so I do not fundamentally know what's going through this insurance company's why they haven't paid this claim, why they haven't got this building gone. And I'm scratching my head at it, and I'm a little frustrated. But, you know, things fall to government. This is why government exists. When the private industry doesn't work like the private industry should, this is why government's here to keep our community safe.
Trey, along those lines here, you mentioned here this is really at root of things here, the insurance company. So I'm assuming with the business owners, and again, this is an assumption on my part, but I'm assuming that they're simply waiting for their insurance company to get through their process before they would make any decision as to whether they're going to tear the building down. So, you know, you're kind of looking at this from one of the at least two sides that are involved here.
I mean, you know, it is, you know, our cost to demolish it is $390,000. I would imagine if they were going to demolish it themselves, they're looking at similar costs. So it's a big ticket item, you know, and I'm sure if you're a bank and somebody's asking for a loan, well, there's not a building there to loan on, so that makes it difficult to get a loan when you have a building that's burnt out. So I'm sure the owners are frustrated, as I would be. But, you know, our job at the end of the day is to keep the community safe, and having a burnout shell is just not safe for Emporia moving forward.
Trey, you know, one of the things, too, specifically on the economic development slash housing front here is obviously, you know, we have the initial situation with the building itself, but this cleared out, unfortunately, a lot of available living spaces here right next to Emporia State University. What could possibly go into that particular spot? Are we looking almost, you know, exclusively at another apartment style building that would go in with similar types of numbers, or have conversations started yet here on what could replace Hornets Point and what that could look like?
Well, so what happens next is the owner still owns the building. So, you know, under the best case scenario, you know, insurance proceeds pay out, they pay us back for our cost of demolition, then they take the cost of their insurance and they just rebuild like you would after a normal fire, and you go back with an apartment building there, you know, like you normally would. If there's a house fire, any other type of fire, you rebuild with those insurance proceeds. You know, conversely, if this doesn't happen, if they're not able to get the insurance proceeds, if they're not able to rebuild, if they don't pay us back, then what will happen is in a year from now we will foreclose on that building. We'll go through those tax foreclosure process, and then once that happens, then you know the space will go up for auction at that point, and then somebody could come up with a redevelopment plan. You know, once again, my first hope is that the insurance company pays out, and that, you know, that they can come back and kind of do a like, not like for like, as you're going to build it in a new apartment style. But, you know, hopefully a new apartment gets built there with those insurance proceeds.
Now, I'm trying to recall. I do not believe that the Hornets Point apartment complex was vacant. It was vacated at the time of the fire, was it not? There was nobody in there.
It was vacated. Right? It was vacated. It was going under renovation at the time of the fire.
Okay.
Well, Trey, anything else that you want us to know here about either this specific situation or the, I guess, maybe the general process when things get to this point here that we haven't addressed here so far in our interview, and what else you got on here coming up on your slate here for the rest of the day today?
It's a busy time at the city. We're working through budget funds. Fortunately, we had a little bit of one-time money that we could address this with here, and hopefully we get paid back on it. I think the insurance company will eventually pay out. Worst case scenario, I think the property is worth something if it does go up to auction eventually. So I think the city will be made whole eventually. It's just going to be a matter of time, before that happens. But, you know, continue to urge folks who own property in this community, to take care of it, make sure it's safe, and be a good neighbor. Cause that's really what helps everybody out. At the end of the day, when folks are good neighbors and they take care of their properties, and we don't have to step in and act.
Understood. When is demolition set to begin here?
I'm hoping in the next couple of weeks. I really want to get it down before school starts, so it's not an attractive nuisance once school's back. We do have to go through a KDHE permitting process. There is asbestos. We have to treat the building like there's asbestos in it, which requires a special type of demolition. It's a wet down demolition where basically they spray the debris down. They have to put it into plastic poly-lined dumpsters, and then they have to haul it to a special dump. In this case, it's going to be Rolling Hills, north of Topeka. And when they haul it, they have to haul it in a way to make sure none of that debris escapes out and, you know, is not tumbling down the turnpike as it's leaving town. So we have to protect everybody as we do this demolition. So it just takes a little bit of time to make sure everything's set up to do that sort of demolition.
And hopefully here in the next few days we can see some roads opening up across town too, huh, Trey?
I'm hoping. Yeah. We got the water line on 12th Street. We got that opened up. So it's just a matter of restoring that surface. 6th Street looks like it's making great progress. I'm hopeful that both of those streets are open here in the next couple of weeks. I appreciate everybody's patience. I know it hasn't been ideal to have both those streets shut down at the same time. But you know, we got to do these waterline projects. I mean, yeah. You know, that's the other half of it is we're trying to do commission after we had those big boil orders 2018, 2019, started going through the process, and we have $20 million worth of loan money coming in from KDHE, low interest loan money coming in from KDHE to make these line upgrades throughout the community. It's going to be a slow process that's going to take, you know, probably 5 years to get through and make these much needed upgrades. But, you know, let's go to Prairie Street. Prairie Street, we're working on restoring that. But yeah. That line that ruptured over the 4th of July weekend was put in place in 1928. So, you know, it's a old cast iron 20-inch water line that has served us for almost 100 years. But, you know, it's at the end of its life. And so we're in the process. We're doing all these upgrades on the water line. $20 million worth of upgrades coming. It's just a matter of time to get everything designed, permitted. One of the things that drives me absolutely crazy about the water permitting process in the state of Kansas is even if we're doing a pretty much like-for-like waterline replacement, it has to go through KDHE. It has to sit on their chief engineer's desk, and it typically takes them 3 months to review every plan document before those documents can go out for bid, which is a really slow process, but it's part of the state's protection of the public water supply, so it kind of slows down the process. But $20 million worth of upgrades coming in the next few years to the water system here in town. And I think people will notice a difference as that happens.
Yeah, short
but
term.
But that's going to be a lot of construction, conversely, as those projects happen.
Right.
You know, we can't just snap and have it happen. Unfortunately, we have to tear up streets. We have to slow things down. I will work my best to stage these projects so we don't have multiple major arterials shut down at the same time, but we will have arterials that are, you know, under construction as these projects move through.
Gotcha. Really quickly, Trey, speaking of Prairie, 12th to 15th still shut down for the next few days here while that work to get everything back to normal is underway?
Yeah, that was a major, major water leak. I want to commend our staff working on the holiday weekend who did a fantastic job of preserving the water system. They worked really hard. The system held, and thanks to our staff at the water plant and our underground utilities people, but that was a massive, massive water break that we had on that Prairie line. When that water line ruptured, it sent water up under a fairly large segment of pavement around there, kind of shifting up the asphalt and concrete and layers of dirt in that area. So we need to make sure we come in, we restore that road so we don't have future sinkholes, and you know, we don't want to lose cars once we get that road restored. So we need to examine that very carefully because there was a lot of water under the road there, and a lot of things potentially eroded. So we need to work diligently. It's not just this isn't, you know, I think folks probably saw on 15th Street where we had one of those earlier water main breaks where we were able to get concrete in and get that service restored. Because of the magnitude of this break, we need to make sure we have that subsurface in good working order and restored before we can move forward and get traffic back on that road. Because at the end of the day, we need that road to be safe for our motorists and pedestrians as they utilize it.
Yeah, City Crews did a yeoman's job. No
Boy,
doubt about
they did
that.
Great work there.
The 4th of July.
They
holiday.
Did. They worked hard. I commend them. They fantastic job because we, you know, if they hadn't got right on it, we probably would have been in a boil advisory situation. The crews were able to work hard and keep us out there and keep the water flowing. So folks need to know just how terrific of a job their city employees did last over the holiday weekend, giving up their holiday to make sure everybody in town had water.
Trey, always good to talk to you. Thanks for your time, as always.
Thanks much, Trey.
Thanks, guys. Let me know if you need anything else. Have
a great
week.
Good to talk to you.
You too.
Trey Conking, Emporia City Manager. Yes, indeed, the latest on the demolition of the Hornets Point apartment complex, and they will be moving forward with that within the next couple of weeks.
Sounds like before the end of the month, to be flatly honest, and a step that, as you heard Trey mention really a couple of times, a step they really didn't want to take, but with kind of the slow resolution of the process on the insurance side, that kind of necessitated a move, especially if they wanted to get that area clear before the, well, believe it or not, the start of the fall semester, which is a month away right now. So they got to get the stuff moving. So that's what they did.
Well, tomorrow morning we'll be having our monthly Tech Talk with Flint Hills Technical College President Karen Darty.
Looking forward to that.
And also we'll be speaking with Jeremy Johns and Shad Swift of Radius Brewing Company, talking about an impending expansion of that business. I think we could have some more brewing boiling there.
Always good stuff to talk about what's brewing at Radius,
yes,
right?
Yes, indeed. 840, sunshine, 77 degrees. Good morning.
Get the highest car wash technology on the market today at Mr. G's Express Car Wash.